We continue our study in Mark 11, verses 12 through 14, where we have the account of Jesus' cursing of the fig tree. We began in our last study to talk about fruit. Fruit is always the evidence of genuine salvation. When a person is saved by God's grace, they will bear fruit for his glory. The fruit on the vine is evidence of life within the branch. As the branch yields to the vine, and as the vine lives through the branch, fruit happens. You may ask, what kind of fruit? Well, first of all, you will see that there is a changed life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You ask, what kind of fruit? A changed life. Is there a changed life? Also, not only is there a changed life, but that person becomes a witness. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Are you a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in some way, shape, or form? I'm not saying everybody is an evangelist out on the street corner, but everyone is bearing witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord of their lives. Be you a witness on the job, in the neighborhood, in your family, with your friends. They know there is a difference. And one of the ways they know is when you look at Galatians 5, you see a comparison of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So you notice the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh, there's a whole list of the works of the flesh. Anger, envy, murder, as opposed to love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, long-suffering. You see, there's two different things that work there. Let me also say that not everyone bears the same amount of fruit. But everyone who is saved bears some fruit. In truth, every life saved or lost bears some fruit. But only those in a right relationship with God bear his fruit. Matthew 7, verse 18 tells us, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. So we're all going to bear fruit. If you're saved or unsaved, we are all bearing fruit. Also, when we are all leaf and no fruit, we are living in spiritual hypocrisy. As the text shows, we're fit for nothing but judgment. The fig tree was all leaf, but no fruit. It looked like a fig tree. It had all the leaves, but it had no fruit. So the question is, are you a spiritual hypocrite? Are you and I spiritual hypocrites? What does Jesus see when he looks at your life? In Mark 11, verse 14, it says, we'll start at verse 18. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see it, if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. He went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. Because the fig tree was barren when it promised fruit, the Lord Jesus Christ pronounced a curse upon it. He declared that it was to be fruitless forever. Some people read this and they reach the conclusion that Jesus operated in rash anger here. The phrase at the end of verse 13, for the time of the figs was not yet come, leads them to conclude that Jesus was expecting something from the tree that the tree could not do. We have already discussed that matter. If there were leaves on the tree, there should have been fruit as well. Jesus cursed the tree for its hypocrisy. The lack of fruit was not the reason for the curse. It was the presence of the leaves, the pretense of the leaves. It wasn't lack of fruit. It was the pretense. It was the spiritual hypocrisy. The tree was making promises it could not deliver. Again, this is a picture of the nation of Israel. Let us not forget, that is the main point. It's dealing with Israel, but also with every human being. Because Israel promised life and only delivered bondage and dead religion, they were cursed. We know from the historical record that Israel was judged for their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they paid a high price for their hypocrisy. They were destroyed by Rome in 70 AD, and the population that survived was scattered around the world. Their nation ceased to exist for nearly 1,900 years. The nation of Israel was reborn in 1948, but they still stand under God's judgment to this day. One day when Jesus returns in glory, the curse will be lifted and Israel will flourish again. But for now, they are paying a high price for the deception and for the hypocrisy. I would just remind you that the same scenario can be played out in our lives today. When we have the appearance of life but bear no fruit, we can expect a visit from the Lord. Verse 13 tells us the fig tree was afar off. Jesus made an effort to go to that tree, and he will come to examine the fruit in our lives as well. If we're hypocritical and do not bear fruit as he desires us to, he might just set us aside as well. A serious warning for all of us. That was the Apostle Paul's fear. So if he was fearful of it, I certainly should be fearful, and you certainly should be fearful. This is also the promise of the husbandman to the branches in his vineyard in John 15. If we make a pretense of religion by flaunting our leaves but have no fruit, he will certainly judge us too. He will chastise us if we be children of God. We'll be in John 15, making a few statements, so if you'd like to go over there. John 15, verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. That verse deserves a closer attention, a little closer examination. When the Lord sees a fruitless branch, he takes it away. This does not mean that he cuts this branch out of the vine. It does mean he begins to work in that branch to make it fruitful. He lifts it up and he trains it to grow like he intends it to grow. Did you notice that every branch receives this attention? When the Lord finds a branch that will not yield to his efforts to train it and to make it fruitful, that branch will experience the work of the vine dresser on a deeper and more painful level. Look at John 15:6. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. This does not mean that the branch is cut out of the vine. It does mean that it is trimmed back in an attempt to force it to be fruitful. And all of this reminds us that those who know the Lord are expected to be fruitful branches. When we're not fruitful, we can expect the personal attention of the vine dresser in our lives. He will come to us with chastisement to teach us and train us to become more fruitful for his glory. The scripture is very, very clear about that. Very clear about the chastisement of the Lord. It's spoken of how he dealt with the nation of Israel in Hosea. It says he first came to them when he saw their hypocrisy and their sinfulness, just living in sin and not repenting of it. That first he came as a moth, just as a moth just flies around you and annoys you. If you're reading a book outside at nighttime, a moth will come around and just keep annoying you and annoying you and annoying you until you close the book and say, forget about it. So the Lord says in Hosea that he went to them first of all as a moth. And then they failed to repent. And then he came as a lion. He came as a lion. The Lord, when he deals with his people that are fruitless, first he comes as a moth. Then he comes as a lion. Just as when you were a child. If you didn't listen to your parents, the punishment increased more and more. The Lord works on the fruitful branch also in order to help it become even more fruitful. His desire is that we bear fruit. Look at John 15. Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Much fruit. If we yield to him his work and his will in our lives, we will be fruitful branches for his glory. Fruitful branches. This is what we need to see today. The Lord is looking for fruit. If he finds it in our lives, he'll bless us and cause us to be even more fruitful. And if he does not find fruit in our lives, he will take whatever steps are necessary to make us fruitful. Anybody that's a gardener that has a fruit tree, you're going to do whatever it takes. You're going to do whatever it takes for it to bear fruit. The question is, what will it take to bring you to a place of fruitfulness? Maybe right now the Lord is sending moths into your life. You keep on asking yourself, what's going on here? What's going on here? Is the Lord sending moths into your life to get your attention? You know something's wrong, you just can't put your finger on it. Maybe you're hearing this message today and you're like, that's what it is. The Lord's trying to cause me to bear fruit. And more fruit. And much fruit. Because the reality is nowhere, no matter where you are with the Lord, in every one of our lives, he's causing us to bear more fruit because he's conforming us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And I don't care where you are in the quote-unquote Christian life, you are not in the image of Jesus Christ yet. You're being transformed into that image. You're becoming that image, but none of us. I don't care how, quote-unquote, you think you're sanctified. You're not perfect as Christ is yet. So you can expect the husbandman to be working on the fruit tree a little bit. No matter what, all of us have to deal with those things. The question I'm asking, are you in willful disobedience to the things that you know that the Lord's saying to you? That's the question. Are you suffering from spiritual hypocrisy? The disciples in the text, and let's go back to Mark 11. The disciples heard Jesus when he cursed the fig tree in verse 14. Jesus said to let no one eat from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. And the next day as they passed by, they saw that the fig tree was dried up from the roots. Look at verse 20 and 21 of Mark 11. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Dried up from the roots, Peter called the Lord's attention to the miracle. These men could see that the Lord had worked a miracle and that this miracle had a special lesson to teach. This is not just the Lord was hungry and there was no food on the fig tree, so he cursed the fig tree. There's deeper spiritual truth there than that. These men could see the Lord worked a miracle and that miracle had a special lesson to teach. This miracle was a clear demonstration of the Lord's sovereignty over all things, including nature. Usually when a fig tree dries up, it does so from the top down. The root system will be the last part of the tree to die, not this tree though. Jesus cursed it and it dried. It died from the roots up. It's a picture of total destruction. Again, this tree is a picture of Israel. They have been judged by the Lord for their hypocrisy and their rejection of the Messiah. They were destroyed from the root up. That was the message of John the Baptist to Israel in Matthew 3, verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not good fruit is hewn down, cut down, cast into the fire. Israel had not always been that way. There had been a time when they were fruitful and honoring to the Lord. Now they're in rejection and hypocrisy, and their fate is sealed, they're cursed, and they'll be destroyed. I would just remind everybody that's listening today that the same God who can take a lost sinner, save his soul, and bless his life is the same God who can judge your life if necessary. If you honor him, obey him, and serve him, he will bless you in wonderful ways. If we refuse to honor him and obey him and serve him, he'll bring chastisement into our lives. There was a time, brothers and sisters, when I was a believer and I was disobedient and willfully going the other way. I was like Jonah running the other way. And let me tell you, I had at that time wished I was never a Christian. The Lord had gone way past sending moths into my life. He had sent a lion. And as an elder brother in the Lord, let me just say to you, you don't want that. You don't want that. And right now you listen to this message and it may be like a moth just annoying you to death. But if it's annoying you, I would ask the question, is it annoying you because it's probably true? And in the Lord, and the Lord, and in his mercy, and his kindness, and his gentleness, and his faithfulness, is warning you beforehand. Are you all leaf, like the fig tree, with no fruit? Do you just have the appearance? Do you just have the appearance that you're Christian? And in reality, you're not. Realize this, the disciples saw what happened and took it to heart. At least some of them did, not all of them. For we know that one of their number, Judas Iscariot, was like Israel. He was all leaf and no fruit. He preached, he healed, he cast out devils. But it was all leaf. He had the appearance. He had the appearance that he was a child of God. And he wasn't. In reality, what he did, all he did was just hypocrisy. Our Lord, in one of the sternest warnings that he gives people, where he's telling people to depart from me, for I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. He tells people to depart from me and go to hell. And the people say to him, but Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we heal in your name? Didn't we do all these things in your name? So certainly the people in that text that are appealing to the things that they did obviously are in some kind of a relationship with God. Now, is it a true and fruitful relationship? Or is it just a hypocritical relationship? They really don't know the Lord. Never forget, I've said this 1,000 times over the years. Just because you go to a chicken coop, don't make you a chicken. And that's from a city guy from the New York City area. just because you go to a chicken coop doesn't make you a chicken. Meaning, you can go to church all your life. You could be born in the church. You could have been born in the pew of the church. That doesn't make you a Christian. Baptism doesn't make you a Christian. Vows your parents made doesn't make you a Christian. Only Jesus Christ makes you a Christian. He says, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. You come unto Christ. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And it's the same message for any of us today. If you know Christ or you don't know Christ, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. For maybe you're burdened because you're not a child of God. Or maybe you're a child of God and you're heavy burdened because you're like, man, I'm coming up a little short in this fruit department. And the truth be told, all of us are. We're all coming up short. So guess what? We all have to go to Calvary today. We all need the cross today. That's why Paul said, I come unto you and all I want to know is Christ crucified. See, because no matter where we find ourselves today, we need Jesus Christ. Every one of us today needs to repent. We need to repent of our repentance. Because even in our repentance, we hold things back that we love, that we don't want to give up. And we say to the Lord, yes, Lord, I want to leave that. I want to do this. Yeah. But do you find yourself doing that? The good news is the Lord has not forsaken you. He's not forsaken you. Sometimes we feel like Jacob near the end of his life when his sons had to go down to Egypt. He said, everything is against me. Everything is against me. The Lord is against me. Everything's against me. Let me just close with that as a comfort. In Genesis 42:36, it says this. Their father Jacob said to them, you have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me. Everything is against me. Those circumstances, which to the dim eye of Jacob's faith, were very somber. And where at that moment, if he knew at that moment that the Lord was developing and perfecting the events which would bless him, Simeon is no more. Joseph is no more. And now you want to take away Benjamin. But the truth was, Joseph was there. Joseph was there. And the Lord was developing a plan in Jacob's life. And he's developing a plan in your life and my life to cause us to bear even more fruit. I would encourage you today to be a fruitful tree, that you would bear much fruit for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.